ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, first name, in Shlokam 64, name 603, Anivarti, so Nivartana, you know this word, Yadgatvan Anivartan Te Tadhama Paramam Mama, Nivartan means to come back, to return. And this verse from Bhagavad Gita says that one who goes there to my abode, he doesn't come back to this world. The first meaning given to this name by the commentators is that he doesn't turn away people who do not want to go to the spiritual world. People who are determined to stay in material life. He gives a different result to different people. He doesn't award a place in the spiritual world to those who don't want it. He gives that freedom of independence. He lets them stay in this material world. People who are attached to it. If they want to be in Maya, well, it's up to them. He gives free will. He doesn't force them to come to him. Another meaning given is that as the ideal kshatriya, Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, quality of a kshatriya, yuddhe chapya palayanam. He doesn't run away in battle. Krishna had so many battles with the demons. He likes to fight. He fights quite a lot. Of course, he's not a kshatriya. He's beyond all such statuses. But he comes to this world for the sake of preserving dharma. One way he does that is by fighting. And vinashaya tadushkritam. So he doesn't run away in his battles with the demons. He doesn't get killed either. Someone who's made the vow never to turn away, that's supposed to be the vow of every kshatriya, but we find in the descriptions in the shastra of the Devasura Yuddha, the battles between the demigods and the demons that regularly when one side becomes prominent, then the other, the soldier, when the soldiers on one side feel that now we're getting defeated, I'm going to get killed, then they start running away. And then often the commander of their side will come and say, "Hey, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that." And then they'd get strength from him and again go back to fight. There are many, many such instances. So this name could be given to any kshatriya. Whether or not he fulfills it is something else. To give a name to someone is easy to do, but whether they can live up to it is something else. Just like a common name given in India, even today, to boys is Vikram, which means he's courageous and powerful, but it doesn't necessarily mean they are courageous and powerful. You can just give the name. Srila Prabhupada often quoted a Bengali saying that Kana Chale Nam Padma Lochan. It probably comes in Tamil, and is it? Telugu, all these languages, Hindi,
something like
something
that.
Like that, yeah. So someone has a son who's only got one eye, but he calls him, he names him Padmalochan, who's lotus-eyed. It's wishful thinking, that's all. But in Krishna's case, he actually is Anivarti. There's no question he's going to run away. Well, there is one case. Can you think of that? Krishna fled from the battle. Rancho. It's not a Sanskrit word, by the way. Rana is Sanskrit. And Chor then is Hindi, or maybe it's in Gujarati also. Rancho is best known in Gujarat. Most famous temple of Rancho is in Gujarat. Where?
Dakor.
Yeah, hadn't been there for a long time. So Krishna, with Jarasandha attacking Dwarka from one side and Kala, the Yavana, attacking on the other, he fled. Well, in that case, he hadn't actually entered into the battle. So you could say that he didn't actually run away from the battle. There may be exceptions also. In his names, he can make an exception. The general rule is that he never runs away. Of course, he ran away, not that he was defeated, but he had another plan. He accomplished various things by doing that. But the general point, when he comes, then it's all over for the demons. Indra, he might have a hard time. Generally, he doesn't, but sometimes he gets defeated by the demons. We find in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam that Bali Maharaj, it's stated there that they just left. They realized they had no chance, and they just left. In the Harivansha Purana, it said that there was a severe battle between the demons and this Bali Maharaj heading up the demons. And Prahlad was also there fighting for the demons, according to Harivansha. And Virochana, the father and grandfather, although Bali Maharaj was the king of the demons, but his father and grandfather were present also. So they were defeated. But when Hari comes, then it's all over. Kamsa, he felt confident to oppress the Yadu dynasty and others because he knew Vishnu is so powerful, but he thought anyway Vishnu's just retired. He's hiding away in the heart. He's become afraid. And Shiva's just sitting and doing some meditating, and Brahma, he's the father of all living beings, so he doesn't get involved. He's a Brahmin, he's not a fighter. So, they know when Vishnu comes, that's all over. He won't, in any circumstance, turn away from the fight. He also doesn't turn away from dharma under any circumstance. This might seem strange if we see the narrations of Mahabharata, in which Krishna encouraged or practically berated Arjuna to fight, even though Arjuna was saying it's against the principle of dharma to attack with arrows one's gurus. But Krishna overrode his objections by explaining that the dharma is on various levels, and the highest level of dharma is to do what Krishna wants. So did Krishna go against dharma by inciting Arjuna to fight, by following various cheating methods, you could say, in the felling of Bhishma? Krishna, he approved that. Because Bhishma, he wouldn't fight against any woman, so practically Arjuna made Bhishma look like a porcupine, taking shelter behind he who had been a woman in the previous life, the Amba, and who was born again in this life as Shikhandi. Shikhandi is actually a name in Vishnu Sahasranam also. Different meaning. So Krishna approved that. He arranged for Drona to have his head chopped off under cheating circumstances. But Krishna does that because it's required. Dharma doesn't mean that there's someone breaks all the rules and you still follow the rules. That's one reason why in fighting, that's one reason why in many battles the Muslims were able to overcome the Kshatriyas in India, because they didn't follow the rules that the Kshatriyas, they couldn't imagine, they couldn't dream of doing things like, just like for instance this Krishna Deva Rai, he came out to fight with the invading Sultan or whatever, and then two divisions of his army, which were headed by Muslims who he had sponsored, trained, and given all facilities to, they just deserted him and went over to the other side. And they do things like coming up from behind and attacking from behind. And Shivaji was only able to stem the Muslims because he adopted the same tactics. What can you do? It's useless to be in fighting. If someone plays dirty, then you don't have any choice but to play back, otherwise be overcome. So this is another aspect of dharma. It's not foolishness. Krishna doesn't turn away from dharma. But he wants to establish that proper society. But when you're dealing with powerful demons, sometimes you have to adopt some kind of cheating technique. Krishna himself killed his uncle. He was blamed for that by Jarasandha, overlooking the fact that Kamsa himself had killed his own nephews, and that Kamsa had made so many schemes to kill Krishna. So, understanding dharma, exactly. Krishna, he doesn't... It's a very subtle point, and without understanding Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the upholder of dharma, the highest dharma, is to fulfill his desire and his will. This is the whole message of Bhagavad Gita. So he doesn't turn away from dharma. At the same time, he's not turning away from dharma means he doesn't... He shows how it's a dynamic principle. It's not something frozen in rule books. There are dharma shastras which give so many rules of how to conduct our lives down to the minutest detail. But that also has to be executed under the guidance of someone who is dharmavit, who knows the essence of dharma, who can guide us. Because as I've many times discussed in this Vishnu Sahasranama lecture series, there is often dharma sankata. There is some clash of dharmic principles. That's what happened with Arjuna. He had to fight for the sake of Yudhishthira, so that was his dharma. And he had to fight against his superiors, which was against dharma. And there are so many instances. So Krishna resolves them all, but he never turns away from dharma. No one should think that Krishna turns away from dharma. He may appear to in the eyes of people who don't understand the deeper meaning of dharma, but he always upholds it in the highest respect. Another important point to be understood in this regard, that apadharma, dharma which is executed in some emergency situation, some extreme measures may be required in extreme circumstances. In Mahabharata, it's described how one of the rishis, in a time of famine, had cows killed and fed them to his disciples. That's quite extraordinary, isn't it? Nowadays, I think, well, at least until recently, many people would prefer to die rather than kill the cow and eat. Even now, Srila Prabhupada himself, he said, "I'd rather die than eat meat." He's reported as having said that. So there may be some emergency, but that doesn't mean that we, in emergency, we perform some unusual action. That doesn't mean that it should become a standard principle. This is a very important point in understanding Srila Prabhupada's own ministration in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada was, in the beginning, he was preaching among hippies who were very degraded and in their habits, although Srila Prabhupada found a spark of sincerity in so many of them. So how Srila Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness among the hippies, that doesn't mean that that should remain the standard forever. Everything that Srila, the way Srila Prabhupada did that, he did want to introduce Varnashram Dharma. In the beginning, in 1967 in San Francisco, he didn't insist that initiated devotees shave their heads or that they wear what we call devotional dress. He became more strict later on. So if we say that, well, or Srila Prabhupada, he came to New York City and he kept his bhoga, the food to be processed and offered to Krishna, kept it in the same fridge that his host kept cat food, which means meat. So does that mean that should be a standard forever? That you may say, well, now we have to put cat food in the fridge because that's what Prabhupada did in the beginning. No, it's unimaginable, but Srila Prabhupada did it due to constraint of circumstances. Srila Prabhupada didn't turn away from dharma, but he was flexible in extraordinary circumstances that no previous acharya had ever even dreamed of. I don't know if Srila Prabhupada himself had even dreamed of it. He has to go to America and keep his bhoga with meat for feeding to a cat, which means he was living in the same apartment with a cat. Now, another meaning of anivarti, he does not turn back from his vow to protect his devotees. I've discussed this several times in this series of lectures in various ways, how Krishna, he protects his devotees. So many of these names can be understood in this way. It's a most important point in understanding our position in relationship to Krishna. He is the master, we're the servant, he gives us shelter. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is sharanagati, the process of taking shelter of he who is worthy to give shelter. No one else can protect. What is that verse? Samarshita ye padda pallava plavang mahatpadang punya yasho morare bhavambade vatsapadang parang padang parang padang yadvipadang nate sham. We should take shelter of Krishna because this material world is a very frightening and horrible place. But Krishna, he can make this whole material world, which is so difficult to cross, he can make it very easy to cross, just like crossing over the hoofprint of a calf. otherwise this material world is a place full of danger at every step. Then Devarshiya Bhutatma Nunang Pitrinam Nakinkara Nayam Renichara Jan Sarvatmana Yah Sharanang Sharanyam Gatomukundam Pari Hritya Karatam. We have so many debts in this world. We're bound up in this world by debts. We can't get liberation from the... Generally speaking, one cannot get liberation from this material world unless he's repaid his debts. We're indebted to the demigods who, by their agency, they give heat, light, water, all these things that we need. To the rishis who give us knowledge in the form of Vedic knowledge, even very practical knowledge of how to live in this world. We are indebted to so many living beings, horses, cattle, even dogs and cats have some function to perform. We're indebted to our family members who nourish us in childhood and with whom we interact in so many ways, and to mankind in general. We have so many debts. So we can't... Generally the idea is you can't get liberation from this material world without repaying those debts. There's the narration of the Balakilyas, 60,000 rishis, who are each the size of a thumb, very small, and they were performing austerities, but then they were informed that, well, you can't get liberation, because first you have to be a grihastha, then you can fulfill all your debts. Then you can take to the path of liberation. But this verse says that if we take shelter of Krishna, then automatically we're relieved from all debts. So Krishna is worth taking shelter. His promise is to protect his devotees. Otherwise, the laws of nature are very strong. We know the law of karma is very strong. If one does something sinful, then he has to get a reaction. But Krishna says, Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tva Sarva Pape Bhyo Moksha Ishami Mashucha. Krishna clears away all those karmic reactions if we simply take shelter of him. That is his promise. He never turns back from that promise. Krishna, we can trust him. He's looking after us. Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, he, in this verse, he gives meanings of the names in relationship to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Specifically, the first few names he gives in relationship to the killing of the demon Arishtasura, who came in the form of a bull. So when this huge bull came running into Vrindavan, all the people ran away, including the cowherd men. But Krishna stood there. He didn't flee. He stood strong in front, unafraid. And he called out, he rebuked the fleeing cowherd men, calling them cowards. The cowherds had become cowards. It's shameful for a cowherd man to run away from a bull, because they're supposed to be able to control them. It's their... other people might not be, but they should know the art. That's their dharma. They should know the art of even an angry bull. They should be able to bring it under control. But they, but this is a bull. They'd never seen anything like this before. He was so high that the pregnant seemed like the clouds are resting on his hump, and he was so angry and so demoniac. And of course, he was a demon. He wasn't a bull, actually. He was taking... it was most hypocritical of him to take the form of a bull. At least his brother, Aghasura, sin personified, he took the form of a big snake. So at least he was more straightforward. his sister also, Putana, she also was hypocritical. She came in the form of a very beautiful woman, but actually she wanted to kill Krishna. So he was hypocritical, this Arishta. Arishta means a bad omen. So he was bad fortune personified. But Krishna, he stood there very solidly. You want to fight? Okay, come on, I'm ready. So he stood, he didn't turn away. So there are some meanings of the name Anivarti, who doesn't turn away. And of course, it's not given him. He doesn't turn away people from the spiritual world. He's not whimsical. Someone's got the recommendation of a devotee, he doesn't turn them away. He welcomes them. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this? Hare Krishna. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When we say Srila Prabhupada ki jai, we realize that we're actually praising all the previous acharyas who are represented, or who he represents is a better way to put it. So these commentaries I'm taking from different acharyas' commentaries, plus blending in things that I've heard from Srila Prabhupada. So we're grateful to all the acharyas. Parashara Bhatta is the Sri Vaishnava commentator. Shankara Acharya is a traditional commentator. Baladev Vidyabhushan, and there are many others also. Hare Krishna.